Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, September 16th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Bob, Chris, Lauren, and Steve. Welcome.
Hey.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
On today's show, we will be bringing you news from around Disney. And we're going to end the show with a couple of listener questions. We're going to start off with some announcements, then to news, and then we'll go to our main show topic, which today, the main show topic is the romantic side of Disney. Kind of a tribute to couples only or empty nesters, just no kids allowed, and perhaps the romantic side. So let's get going. We're going to start off with announcements. Steve, what do you have for us?
Just a reminder that we will be over at Disney World October 1st for the 5K run. This is over at the Animal Kingdom. If you can RSVP on our Facebook page or just send an email to comments@mousechat.net. I believe it starts at 7 a.m. and it's our first time doing this. So we'll meet if it's the Animal Kingdom parking lot or wherever they have everybody set up. And we'll make a small, mouse chat flag of some sort so you'll be able to find us. And if you haven't started running or walking, it's a 16-minute mile, so dust off your treadmill. I did 3 miles on an elliptical, which Chris tells me is a lot easier than actually walking
or
running.
It's just not the same thing.
Yeah. And it was a little more difficult than I thought it would be. So, get a little practice in before, October 1st.
And we'll see you in the golf carts.
Pretty much.
We'll be waving. Hey.
Okay. We only have that one announcement, so we're going to go to news. Bob, what do you have for news?
Earlier this week, the not-so-scary Halloween party kicked off the Magic Kingdom, so it's now running on select nights, September through, I think the last party is November 1st. This is a special hard ticket event and runs at the Magic Kingdom, as I said, at select nights. From 7 p.m. to midnight, features a special Halloween parade and fireworks, trick-or-treating throughout the park, lots of character meet-and-greet areas that you can go to and have your picture taken, and it's just about the only time that you'll ever be able to dress up as an adult in the Magic Kingdom.
They won't let you otherwise?
No.
Really?
Nope, because they don't want to confuse people, and...
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, they're afraid that guests will think that you're a cast member.
Okay, that's fair.
And so if you're an adult and you want to dress up, this is about the only time of year you can do it. And the party is really a lot of fun, and I think if you go once, you'll probably be hooked. It's one of my favorites.
Is anybody going this year?
I'm going to try. I was hoping to, depending on when I can get in that Friday on the September 30th, we were thinking of going, but it might not be possible if we get there late. So, but that's what I'm shooting for.
Bob, if you guys go, Natalie and I will go, because we're sort of trying to decide if we're going to go too.
Okay. All right. That'd be cool.
Peer pressure.
I know. Just let us know.
Okay.
If you do it, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to decide on a costume. Don't have a lot of time.
I haven't even thought about that. Princess Leia. Okay.
There you go. Well, so who knows? We might just be there after all. But yeah, definitely let you know. But I love the parade. I love the fireworks, the trick-or-treating. I just think it's a great time. So.
Yeah, the parade is really good. It's like a special Halloween parade.
I do
and the fireworks
really,
really
enjoy
good.
That.
I like Halloween too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the parade with the Headless Horseman trotting out.
And I love the ghosts from
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
Hitchhiking ghosts. Yeah. I like the Gravediggers.
The Gravediggers, those are great.
And so. I like the dog from Pirates. Was it from Pirates? Not Pirates,
no,
not Pirates. The dog
from Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, Haunted Mansion from the backyard.
Bloodhound, yeah.
Bloodhound. Thank you.
You know what I like the best? I liked the cast member they had out in front of the Haunted Mansion, the opera singer. She was pretty fun. When you were waiting in line, she would kind of insult you or say something funny. She was cute.
Sitting on the bench.
It's just like this show.
Yeah, exactly. We should have.
By the way, everybody, be ready for me tonight because I'm in a cranky mood.
As no, usual. Wow, Chris is in a cranky mood.
No, I'm really not. But you know, I was threatening Bob earlier that I was gunning for him, but now I'm going to be really nice to him because people think I'm a crab.
Well, no, and apparently I've just been informed that I opened the door to being insulted. So
yeah, you do. Well, Bob, when you say that you believe aliens abducted you, come on. That's like opening the door, especially with someone like me.
It is a plausible theory.
You know what? It's totally not plausible.
I don't really pick on people a lot, and that one actually opened the door for me.
Yeah.
Well,
do you know what, Bob? I've actually been to Area 51.
Well,
do you know that area where they never want?
Yes.
That's like your homeland, right?
Yeah, he's got one of those automatic gate openers, so he doesn't even have to punch in.
They wave him in. The gate guard waves him in. Hey, Bob.
Welcome home.
I
wonder if you could click your heels together and say there's no place like home and get back to home then.
Yeah.
I never said it was home. I never said I was comfortable with the whole alien abduction thing. I just said it with a theory.
You say it with such conviction.
Well, yes, because it's a plausible theory.
That do you believe it happened?
I honestly do. I really
that is so strange. Why wouldn't it be a more plausible theory that you just were one of those really odd people that didn't have memories before age 8? Because you know what, my husband's kind of like that too. Do you think he was abducted
maybe your
by aliens?
Was with Bob.
He could have been. Or maybe, you know, I mean, I think there are a lot more plausible explanations, Bob. You know, maybe you had a very serious trauma happen when you were like 7.
I think I'd rather be abducted by aliens.
It could be. We'll have to take this offline and discuss it later.
Yeah. Okay, we'll discuss
this
later.
This. Sorry.
Okay, Lauren, you have some news, I believe?
Yeah, nothing that's going to take us there, that's for sure.
Nice segue.
I know.
Reservations have now opened for lunch at Donald's Dining Safari in Animal Kingdom. They've added a lunch to the Tusker House Donald's Safari. Now it's no longer just breakfast. It's also going to be lunch. It's going to include Donald, Daisy, I believe it's Mickey and Goofy as well, and it's starting up December 4th. I actually already have reservations for December 13th. I'm excited. Some of the things they're going to include are going to be rotisserie chicken, carved beef, curry chicken, fish, tandoori tofu, and et cetera, et cetera. So.
Ooh, I like et cetera.
So this is a character dining at Tusker House?
Yes.
I actually think that's a good idea because that breakfast is supposed to be one of the better ones.
Yeah. So they're adding a lunch. And it doesn't sound like they're adding it as a, we're going to try and see how it goes, like they did with Chef Mickey. Like it doesn't sound like it's a temporary thing, you know? I wish they would do it with Chef Mickey.
Yeah, but I wonder if people are still at the contemporary or if they're in the park.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it might work better in Animal Kingdom because...
Yeah, but so many people love to go to one of the monorail resorts for lunch, dinner, or even breakfast when they're at the Magic Kingdom for the day.
Yeah, but that does break up your day a little bit, too. You got to leave the park, go back.
But that can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and I always think about doing it. I always think about going away for lunch, but you just never do.
No.
Yeah. I never
and you
do
know,
that.
In the Animal Kingdom, there's not really any good lunch places, so that actually might be a really good thing. Mm.
And it's nice to get out of the heat there, you know, middle of the day, 11, 12 o'clock.
Yep.
You know, especially since that park is so much hotter. I think it'll do well, and I'm thinking people have probably asked for something like that.
And apparently they're going to have some kind of a banana cinnamon bread pudding, which actually sounds pretty good.
Hmm. Interesting. That does sound good.
So December 13th, I'll go and I'll give you guys a report on it.
Okay.
Cool. Chris.
Okay, mine's a short one, and And in continuing in my bitter vein, which apparently I do because, you know.
This is going to be a fun show.
I've been told that I'm kind of cranky. Anyway, so last week, you know, I had how people were stuck on Pirates for an hour. Well, this week there was a big fire on one of the buses at the Magic Kingdom parking lot. So buses were delayed for, I guess, an hour. People had to take the monorail and the boats. That's all there is to it. They put the fire out. It's not that exciting. Okay.
I'm assuming nobody was on the bus.
No, there were no injuries or anything. They just had like a little fire, so they had to shut down the area.
So we're going to move to our main topic, and tonight we're going to talk about the romantic side of Disney. I need harps playing in the background. Ding, 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 ding.
How about Barry White?
How about Barry Manilow?
Okay.
Oh, wait, Chicago.
That's right. Oh.
Favorite. Da, 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 oh, God, don't please.
Okay. So we're going to talk about some of the things that you might not think of if you're trying to go on a trip and you want to just do something spontaneously romantic, or, of course, some of these things you'll have to plan. But there are some obvious ones, and I think there's some not so obvious ones, and I'm dying to hear what obscure ones you guys come up with. I'm going to start off with something pretty basic and just put a slight twist on it. And, of course, everyone needs to go to dinner. Go to one of the signature restaurants. It doesn't have to be Victoria and Albert's, but I think this can be a very romantic time if you go to dinner and you actually get dressed up. Bring the fancy clothes and turn it into a date. No kids. You know, if they're on the trip with you, put them in one of the centers and go to dinner and order like 5 courses. Do the whole thing.
And definitely a signature restaurant. I mean, you know, I mean, not to say that there aren't nice non-signature places, but...
Are you saying that Hoop-Dee-Doo Review isn't romantic? Because that's where I got engaged.
Well, again, why am I not surprised?
I didn't, actually. I'm kidding.
I wish I did.
I think there's plenty of nice places that are non-signature, but for a romantic date night, you know, you don't want a character meal. So you want something like...
No. You might. You know what? I've actually had clients tell me that was their date night was a character meal. Sure.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for romantic, I'm thinking like Citrico's, Yachtsman Steakhouse, Artist...
I was thinking Artist Point.
I know lots of people love California Grill, not my favorite, but, you know, that's certainly...
I could see California Grill being kind of romantic, you know, if you had like a view of the Magic Kingdom or something. Yeah.
Well, and of course, with California Grill, you know, you can get an earlier dinner there and then save your receipt and go back later. And, you know, they'll let you back up to watch the fireworks, you know, from 15 stories up, which is pretty special.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get that view most anywhere. So that is nice. I think there's plenty of, you know, Brown Derby, I think, is lovely, although it could probably be a little noisy in there.
Yeah, it's a little noisy. I wouldn't put that on the list.
Yeah. Artist Point, Citrico's.
Oh, Chefs, or France, what are we doing?
Oh,
Bistro.
The Bistro, yeah.
Yeah,
there
Bistro.
We go.
Paris.
Took me a minute. I got there.
Right. That was a good one.
I think that's a good one.
All right. So romantic. So definitely, I mean, that was kind of obvious, but
it was,
I agree
but,
with the, you know, the dressing up and the, you know, getting a nice meal with, you know, your appetizer, your entree, dessert.
And share a dessert.
Yeah.
Oh, please. I want my dessert to myself.
That's okay, not, share two desserts.
Yeah.
There you
that's
go.
That's better.
Okay.
In preparation for this show, I actually said to my husband, hey, Kevin, is it romantic when we go out to dinner at Disney World and then go to the parks? And he was like, no. So
perhaps you've been thinking it's been romantic, and he's like, yeah, let's go ride some roller coasters.
No, I didn't think it was romantic either.
Oh.
But, you know.
So what do you find romantic? Nothing?
Can you get back with me? I have to think of something.
All right. You know what? Okay. We'll have some different ideas pop up. And yeah. if anything strikes you as slightly romantic or sweet in the least, just jump in.
Wait, Chris, how about sharing a kitchen sink at Beaches and Cream? Is that romantic?
No, those things look disgusting.
they're really not, though. They really are good. But you need like four people to be able to eat it. So
you do.
I mean, it's probably not really romantic unless you had like two couples.
And that's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be gross.
A little creepy.
Unless you're weird.
No, maybe like just sharing a hot fudge sundae or something could be a little more romantic, or a banana split, but don't share a kitchen sink or with another couple.
Can you imagine two people sharing a kitchen sink?
Or you know what? There's a long wait. You want to share the kitchen sink with us?
We didn't touch this side, I promise.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, but sharing maybe like a milkshake with your, you know, God. With your partner. Yeah. Could be.
How about a Dole Whip?
That could be romantic.
I never got that whole sharing the milkshake thing. Two straws, one glass.
No, I want my own milkshake.
Yeah.
Guys, I think we're just a completely different generation here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Lauren, you had mentioned, fireworks being romantic.
Well, I think like the specialty cruises with the fireworks, I think that would be romantic.
Okay, yeah, but a specialty cruise, don't you need like, I mean, unless you want to pay for the whole thing, wouldn't you need like a bunch of people to go with you?
Yeah, that'd be romantic.
No, they do, I think they do.
I think you can do like
I think
two.
You can do for two.
What about at the Yacht and Beach Club? What's that, the wooden, there's a couple different wooden boats over there that I forget that are kind of the classic boats.
Okay. You can just take them out.
You can rent them with a driver as opposed to a pontoon boat.
Basically if you're willing to pay the price, that's great, but
Bob, you put a price on romance, I'm going to tell Donna.
No, I just, you know, not everybody has the budget to do something like a specialty cruise or you know, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy the fireworks or that they're not romantic. I think so, you know, watching wishes from, you know, the Magic Kingdom can be very romantic. Or even better, I mean, you can go to one of the resorts like the Polynesian and sit on the beach or even on the grass there, and
that
you know, you have a perfect view of the castle, and you know, you'll see it changing colors and you'll see the fireworks exploding and they pipe in the music, and that can be very, very romantic.
Yeah.
Bob, you're such a sap. It's kind of cute, actually.
Thank you.
What about like a horse and carriage ride?
That's on my list.
Yeah,
that's on my list, okay. Too.
And, can you do those, the horse and carriage rides?
Port Orleans, right?
Port Orleans.
Port Wilderness. Don't they have, I don't know how romantic it is, though, the hay rides.
Yeah, hay is itchy.
I don't think that's romantic, though.
No.
I think it's fun and kind of youthful and, I don't know, reminiscent perhaps, but romantic?
No.
Not so much.
I mean,
the
I guess that
can be very, very romantic.
Yes. Yeah, I actually booked that for a client, and it was their honeymoon, and they were, you know, that was what they wanted to do. It didn't sound bad.
No, I kind of like the idea of a horse. I like the fireworks. I like the dinner. I like the carriage ride. What about
spa?
Yep, spa's on my list.
Spa.
Isn't the spa kind of more of a solo activity?
No, you can do couples massages.
You can, but you know what? Honestly, have you ever done one of those?
No.
I did one on the Disney Cruise Line.
But the couples massages, there's not a whole lot of romance there.
You can hold hands.
They hold hands and you can hear the other person getting worked over.
That's sexy.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't find that as romantic as I thought it would be.
Was on the Disney, granted it's not Disney World, but on the Disney Wonder and the Disney Magic, they have that Roz, they have some kind of a spa treatment called a Roz something or other. It'll come to me.
Wazowski.
I was going to say, is this Roz from Monsters?
No, not I'm watching you. Not that Roz. Always watch. No. Not that Roz. No, there is a spa treatment there where you can, where couples can go in and you basically sit in like a, you can put all these different lotions and oils and scrubs on one another. And then you sit in like this, in a steam room for like 45 minutes and, you know, they give you water and stuff. And then, you know, you enjoy the hot steam and then of course you just rinse off.
Didn't you complain about that, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's I don't enjoy extreme heat and hot tubs, so that not my thing, particularly. I mean, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I mean, it was actually kind of nice, and the product that they give you really does make your skin feel good. But I know it appeals to a lot of people, and I know people were upset that the Disney Dream doesn't have the same spa treatment. And if any of our listeners can help me remember what it's called, that would be
great. It's
the
Exotic Razul, right?
Thank you. The Exotic Razul, yes.
How could I forget? You talked about that a lot. You were very, like, you know, excited about your Exotic Razul thingamajiggy. Yeah.
So, but that can be romantic, but that's the Disney cruise. But, yeah, I mean, the spa treatments can be done together and I think can be romantic. What about walking on the beaches and stuff, you know, at some of the beach resorts?
There's a lot of things relating to the beaches, whether it's watching the fireworks, like you said, watching Wishes, laying in the hammocks together. You can do that at a couple of the resorts.
Yeah, the Polynesian's nice for that.
Yeah.
Aren't those hammocks kind of small?
And the problem is?
Well, then you could fall over, and I don't know.
Yeah, you just have to snuggle real close.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, the beaches. And this is kind of corny as well, but that's what I do. I do corny. So even when they have some of those nighttime movies, like the movies on the beach.
I was thinking that, yeah.
I think that, even if it's Monsters, Inc., I think that's romantic to be out there
on
the beach.
That's not corny. That's kind of cute.
Okay, you like that one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that one. Let's put it that way.
Okay, I'll take it.
Now, Chris, what would you like to see Disney do that would be romantic in your book that they're not doing now?
Gosh, that's a really complicated question. I would like them to, I don't know. I have no idea. Because, I just honestly, it just, I have no idea.
Wow, you're good at this.
What would you consider romantic? Not related to Disney.
Okay, let's just find out. Yeah, let's just get to the core of what romance is to Chris.
One time I was in the Alps and I went strawberry picking with this guy. And it was like the most romantic day ever. It was amazing.
Now you're just making things up.
No, it happened. I swear to God, it was beautiful. But the thing was, is we picked too many darn strawberries, and then we had strawberries for like 3 days. And so we were in Salzburg and we were like, if I have to eat another strawberry, I'm going to die. But it was really beautiful.
So what is comparable to that?
Yeah, no, it was really nice. Nothing.
I'm guessing it's not Maelstrom.
Yes.
No, it was just, you know, it was a great day.
What about maybe one of the backstage tours or one of the tours that takes you through like a flower and garden type? Would that, no. With
no.
Your husband.
What about?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like,
food and wine.
I have a really good time when my husband and I go. Like, we have a blast when we go out on our own. It's just not really that romantic. And I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know. It just, I don't know.
Okay. Well, maybe romance isn't the right thing.
Everybody's perception of romance is also
at Disney. Yeah.
Well, I've got another one. What about doing a photo pass shoot?
No.
No, I like that.
I think for me that would be...
I don't know if that's romantic, though.
No.
It can be.
I think it could be.
You get a nice setting like the Grand Floridian or, you know, the beach at the Polynesian, you know, and you can have some romantic shots. A lot of wedding couples do that. I mean, not...
Yeah, if you're there for your wedding.
No. They do it like for their engagement shots or something. So I think it can be...
Well, and that's cute, too.
Bob, I'm with you on this.
Yeah,
I
think that's an idea.
That's not my top 10.
Another one that I was thinking of that can be romantic. corny. I'll steal one from Lisa's corny book. Floating down the lazy river at like a water park or at Storm Along Bay.
Again, Storm Along Bay, not romantic, Bob. Yeah.
No, but I can see that, where you're just holding hands, you're each in an inner tube.
Then you're that couple. You're that, like, PDA couple, and people are always like...
No. Just holding hands doesn't mean you're, like, all over each other. Just drifting down the river, you know, kind of smiling at the kids that go by, and nothing matters, no cares in the world, and you're just relaxing, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm
See,
I'm
now I could
about.
See maybe sitting in a jacuzzi after a long day.
See, that
relaxing.
Doesn't do anything for me. That, you know, you're just sitting there, you're getting warm and...
No, see, that could be romantic.
You know, that's the stereotypical romantic, but...
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, I don't see that as romantic as much as something that's a little more...
Oh, okay, here's another good one, especially, and it's probably really nice around the holidays, doing a tour of the resorts together, you know, just going around and looking at, I mean, and that's why I say the holidays would be great to, you know, like see the deluxe resorts, check them out, see how they're decorated, you know, take in the sights of the Grand Floridian and the sounds and things like that.
Yeah, I think the Grand Floridian's a good option.
Yeah, I'm a little more or listening to the music at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The band.
I'm kind of getting in tune
with Bob here.
It makes a good whole evening if you go to Narcoozie's or pick any of the signature restaurants there, and then just walking around the resort. The resort at night is nice, and then you've got the fireworks and the electrical water pageant, the beach, and then you can also go in the lobby and listen to the music. So there's
you've got a full night just right there at the Grand Floridian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think, what about the boardwalk?
Boardwalk's on my list.
You know, you have the dueling pianos, the dance hall.
No, see, I wasn't doing that. I was literally walking on the boardwalk,
playing the midway games
and getting, a snack, getting a little funnel cake, and just walking the boardwalk, watching the people, looking at the water.
Yeah, but if you're also a couple that wants to maybe do something or not just walk on the boardwalk, that's also another option, too.
Well, you go to Pleasure Island. Oh, wait, no, you can't.
No. But there's still a lot of nightlife there. I mean, you can walk around a little bit, and sometimes they have entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can walk there and see them dismantling clubs and... You know, it's great.
You're killing this. I was with you for a minute there.
No, I kid. It's just I hate to see that shell. And it's kind of humorous to me that they actually have, like, nighttime entertainment walking around, you know, what used to be Pleasure Island. It's like, you know, if you're going to have nighttime entertainment and, like, bands performing, why didn't you just keep the clubs open? But, you know, I digress.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually have, I suppose, to some people, a romantic time, doing shopping. I mean, shopping to some people can be very romantic, you know.
Not with my husband.
Do you know what? For me, I think a lot of it is it's so much of it's commercialized. It's just sort of things like a seems like a big consumer-driven kind of artificial thing, you know?
Well, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, there's certain stores. Like, I love Art of Disney. I love going in there.
Yeah.
You know, time and looking at the artwork and you know, the figurines and the stuff that I might like to buy or stuff that I wish I could buy most of the time. To me, that's kind of neat or... I love the Christmas store because I love Christmas. So
I was thinking the Christmas store.
You know, and I think that can be a, you know, just a really nice time and a good way to kill some time there, just looking at the ornaments, maybe picking out a favorite ornament to commemorate your trip, maybe even get it personalized. You know.
Well, and don't you think, too, I mean, like coming down as we do, I mean, we have three children and, like, we're pretty tired and... You know, so you don't maybe have the energy to like be walking around at night and doing things. And, you know, I don't know. I think maybe that's part of my issue too, is that like, we go to sleep at like 9:30 at night when we're at Disney, you know? So it's not like we're going out to, I mean, we go out that one night. That's like the one night we put out the effort. But then after that, we're just kind of like, you know, we go to bed practically when the kids go to bed. And then we're up really early and in the parks at rope drop. So.
But, I mean, but not everybody goes to Disney with
I know.
Children.
And that's kind of like your situation where you and Donna are, you know, somewhat newly married and everything. So you have, you know, you have that opportunity.
Well, and then too, I mean, some people, you know, even bring down kids, but their kids are on different schedules or their kids are older,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, to some people this appeals, you know, the idea of kind of getting away and
right.
You know, doing something more adult. What about, I mean, you guys all saw Cirque du Soleil. What do you think about that for a romantic?
That was on my list too.
I thought Cirque du Soleil was pretty amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that you could do as a couple.
I think when you share something amazing like that, it does kind of become romantic.
So, I mean, you can go to Cirque du Soleil and then maybe grab a bite to eat at Downtown Disney Westside or something to drink, you know, from one of the restaurants there. I think that could be, you know, something nice.
I've got on here miniature golf. Good old-fashioned round of miniature golf.
Really? I'm taking notes.
You should be.
Miniature golf.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right, so I just scratched off, like, wedding vow renewal at the wedding pavilion, and I just put
replaced in... replaced it with miniature golf.
You're welcome.
I just saved, like... $15,000.
That's awesome, yeah. Hey,
but
when they put in the bowling alley, you could scratch a nail off the list.
You knew I was simple when you met me. But I do have on here, I'm going to just get the last one off my list, and that is repropose. And, you know, middle of Main Street or, I don't know.
That's actually sweet.
Yeah, to have something, and it doesn't have to be a diamond ring or anything, but just a significant something that you would give to the person. You don't even have to have anything to give to that person, but just
a Mickey ring.
Yeah, get a Mickey ring or get
propose or propose. You don't necessarily have to, you know, repropose.
Right.
You know.
So that's on my list, but to do it somewhere that it's appropriate is key. You don't do it in line for Space Mountain. Let's see. You don't do it right after lunch at Pinocchio's Village House, but, you know, you have to figure this out. Maybe right after or during the fireworks. I don't know. Ladies, help me out.
On Big Thunder Mountain.
My friend proposed to his wife around the side of Cinderella Castle by the fountain. You know, that's
around back.
Well, yeah. Because she doesn't like, you know, she didn't want too much attention. You know, she's not that kind of person. So, you know, he kind of did it off to the side and there were less crowds. And it was very, very nice.
I kind of like the idea of people who haven't done, like, the thing that everyone else does. And so, you know, do something that appeals to the person, you know, to them as an individual. Maybe they, you know, like Bob said, they don't like attention and that kind of thing, and maybe they're not a, you know, in front of the castle kind of person. I don't know. I don't think there's any wrong place depending on the individual.
You're very right. I mean, you could be on Dumbo and do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually kind of sweet.
Actually, Dumbo is kind of cute. Yeah,
yeah.
That is sweet. I mean, I don't know. That's sweet.
What about the, and I'm drawing a blank.
While you're stuck on pirates for 2 hours.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, right.
Don't do it on Tower of Terror when you're about to drop, because that could be bad.
What about those the dining experiences too? That's probably something that's romantic to do because it's not a big group of people; they're small groups of people.
Oh, you mean like those little private dining things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
that might be romantic.
Yeah, although I heard the food's not that good.
It should be for the price, though.
Yeah, one of my friends actually did that for his wife. Last year, and they really didn't like the food. I mean, they said overall it was like a nice experience, but the food wasn't so great.
That's disappointing.
What are the private dining things like? Get a table out of the beach at one of the resorts?
Yeah, that's what they did. They did the one at the Grand Floridian.
Hmm.
But, you know, they did it, and they had wanted to do it. So it was a surprise for her. So it's sweet.
Well, I mean, as long as we're talking about expensive ideas or just throwing ideas out, the Grand One yacht.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which, I mean, you could rent for, what, I think an hour, 5 hours, the whole night, you know, and just depends on how much you want to spend. But, you know, it fits up to, I think, 18 people, but it can just be you and your significant other, and you can take it out and, you know, watch Wishes, let's say, on it, and, you know, be served dinner on it. That'd be kind of nice. You know, I think that's pretty romantic. You know, and I think too that
it's not that I'm like not, you know, it's not like I'm a curmudgeon or something. I just, you know, nothing has really appealed to me yet. I'm sorry.
What about like the little things, like the things that you don't think about necessarily in the, you know, during the course of a day, but that can be romantic? Like, you know, you're sitting next to your significant other
and he does,
you know,
the laundry. Yeah, no, that's great.
That make me fall back in love.
I was going to say you're sitting next to your significant other on, you know, Haunted Mansion, and you know it's dark in there, and so you steal a quick kiss. You know that,
yeah,
could be cute and romantic.
I don't know. You know,
and only a kiss because there's cameras in there. So, you know, so don't just assume because it's dark that you can.
Yeah,
you know,
there are cameras in all those dark places.
You know
places.
What? Those cameras are actually much more limited than you would think. And in fact, it's more sound motion that it detects. So there's really not as many cameras that you would think in there.
So be
at least
very,
that's what
very
I've heard.
Still.
Yeah.
So
that's just wrong, Bob.
But no, I mean, you know, and don't overlook, you know, I mean, I know you said private tours, but also the hard ticket events, I think, can be fun, or the specialty events, you know, going to Food and Wine and you know, doing a seminar, you know.
Well, and that's what Kevin and I do, because when we tend to go with as a whole family, we tend to go in December, and the parks aren't open that late, so we get Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party tickets for ourselves, and I know Lisa's going to think I'm a bad mother now. That's the night that we go out together, because then we know we'll at least have the park until midnight. And, you know, it is a lot of fun to go.
You know what, though? If your kids are in bed at, you know, 7, 7:30, I kind of don't blame you there. We do keep the kids up later.
Yeah, I do too.
So, you know, I didn't get the full story, so you're not a horrible mother.
I know I'm not a horrible mother, because they need to go to bed.
That might make me the horrible mother, because I don't put my kids to bed.
No, me neither, Lisa.
No, I mean, honestly, I really wish that we could get them to stay up later, but because, you know, especially having twins, they've just always been on a really strict schedule. So
Yeah, but you know what? Mine were too, and mine, I would say by the time they were six, we started pretty much just staying till the park closed.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe when
they were
older,
okay.
They're like four now. So.
Yeah, they were about six when we started to push the envelope.
We'll probably try it, although I have to admit that Eric, you know, a couple of times I've had the older one out to like 9, 10, 11, and he's done okay, but he was dragging, you know.
Yeah.
Lightweights.
Now my girls, they'll forget it. They'll go as long as I can.
Yeah.
And still be up at the crack of dawn.
And so that's why I say, you know, the special, you know, events like, you know, doing a seminar at Food and Wine that interests both of you, or enjoying, you know, something at, you know, the Flower and Garden Festival, you know, has a lot of stuff going on that, you know, might be romantic if you're there. Even... I think, you know, even Not So Scary Halloween Party, if you're into it, dressing up can be kind of romantic. You know, I mean, it's corny and funny, but
depending on what you dress as.
Well, yeah. I mean, we saw a couple there, Donna and I, when we were there, must have been, I guess, 2 years ago. But they were dressed like the sailor and the woman, you know, from the famous Time or Life magazine photo.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, and so, yeah,
I know exactly
posing.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, so they kept posing in that famous photo. And yeah, that was a nice idea. And then we saw like an older couple there, elderly couple, and he was dressed like Frankenstein and she was dressed as the bride of Frankenstein.
Adorable.
Which was adorable. And she was in a wheelchair and he was pushing her, which was even more adorable.
Okay, there are some really creative people out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that it can be kind of romantic. And... Even I mean, you know, even some of the stuff that Donna and I do, which is just plain silly, can be, I don't know, it's kind of romantic. I mean, because you're having a good time with one another. You know, like I'll put on, you know, weird hats, or I'll make faces on the rides. You know, I mean, it's cheesy. It's funny, and I ruin vacation photos for other people. But, but you know, it's I don't know, it's special. And I'm a sap.
You are a big sap, and that's really sweet.
Well, you know, when the aliens took out my tonsils, they gave they me added a bigger sap. Heart. Yeah, they added sap.
Okay.
Can I just talk a little bit about babysitting? Because it kind of goes hand in hand with with this subject. So there's a couple different options if you're looking for a sitter while you're down there. One thing you can do, the kids club, and they're at several different resorts. There's one at the Polynesian. There's one at, is it Beach Club? Mm-hmm. And where are the other kids clubs? Animal Kingdom Lodge. And there's one at the Grand Floridian. And they're about $11.50 per hour. They're for kids ages 3 through 12, although personally I would not put a 3-year-old in one of the kids clubs. And it's $11.50 per kid, and it includes their dinner, which is a really nice deal.
And they must be potty trained.
They have to be potty trained. That's right. If you're like me and you have 3 kids, it's much more financially a better option to just go ahead and get an in-room sitter. And the sitter that the service that I use every time is Kids Night Out. There are a couple of others like Fairy Godmothers, but I prefer Kids Night Out. And they'll come to your room, and again, it's a per kid charge. It's I think it's 12 for the first kid, and then it's maybe 14 for kid number 2, and then 16 or 18 or something. It's under 20 for 3 kids per hour, which is a good deal. They'll feed them. They'll put them to bed. We've had really good experiences. Every time we've used them, our kids have been asleep when we've gotten back to the resort. So it's a pretty good deal. And
that's got to be a pretty easy gig for your sitter, because all the kids are out cold.
Yeah, they're out. And it is. And, you know, you could do, like, we'll usually have them come around 4 o'clock and try to get to know them and get the kids comfortable and head out before 5 so we can make our dining reservation for around 5:30. So we do spend a little bit of time. We always make sure there's dinner for everybody, for the kids and for the sitter, so they don't have to go out. And when we go as a family, we usually stay DVC, or we rent points. So there's a kitchen, so she can, you know, feed them their pizza and all that. And we make sure they have lots of snacks so they're happy. So I love the sitter service. And I'm the kind of person, I'm very nervous about who I leave the kids with. But I felt pretty comfortable with them. So
good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up the main topic for this week's episode. And we do have a couple of listener questions, comments. So let me get to those. The first one is going to be from Matt. And he writes, "Hello. Congratulations on what is a very fun and entertaining podcast. I look forward to listening each and every week. Thank you. I have a question that I would like the group's opinion on. I am more than just a Disney fan. I am also a shareholder as of 2001. There is one thing I just don't understand. The Pixar label has produced some of the most financially successful movies of all time. Why is it that Pixar is not better integrated into Walt Disney World? Pixar Place is essentially a joke. There's one Toy Story ride and a Pixar shop, as if you couldn't find Pixar stuff anywhere else. I understand that creating new rides is very expensive, but why not integrate those characters into existing rides? Why aren't the characters from Cars racing on the Tomorrowland Raceway instead of those archaic cars? Why isn't Wally all over Tomorrowland, for that matter? I would really like to hear your opinion on this. Please keep up the great work. Matt." Okay, well, thanks for the questions. And gosh, I'm a big Pixar fan too, and I would love to see more Pixar throughout the world.
Yeah, but you can't change the Cars ride.
Sure. Well, I think you can.
No.
And I think you should. Matt, I agree with you. I think I think they should have integrated it a long time ago. But I guess since Pixar really wasn't a part of Disney until several years ago, maybe that had something to do with it. Ultimately, I think it does come down to cost. There's been talk of a Monsters Inc. ride, a roller coaster ride based on the Door theme, mm-hmm. being put inside Hollywood Studios for at least the last few years now. There was hope that it would be announced at D23, and it wasn't. But with, the expansion in Fantasyland, the expansion over at California Adventure, the
two new cruise ships.
Yeah, the two new cruise ships, the Olani that just opened up, and Disneyland Hong Kong that's going to be started soon. I think Disney's basically saying, well, we are tapped out. If there is going to be any construction related to Pixar, and I certainly hope there is, at Walt Disney World, I think the earliest you will see it would be 2014
before it
gets underway, when once Fantasyland construction is wrapped up and that portion of the park is up and running, which is unfortunate. The other thing I think that Jim Hill had talked about on our show was that, you've got Cars Land opening up soon in California Adventure. So that is basically all Pixar. And if that
is successful,
we may see something like that, in the backlot area of Hollywood Studios. But again, that's probably
they do need to integrate some more boy type things, though. I think
I would agree.
I think, and I have girls, but I do think that they really do need to kind of pick it up a little in that area.
And Pixar Place is, and I don't know if Pixar Place was meant to be an area where, well, we'll put the Toy Story Mania ride in there now, and then we'll expand later. I suppose you could take it as a positive sign that they closed the Journey into Narnia, quote-unquote, attraction.
Because that was a hit.
Right, because that was just drawing in the crowds. But now you've got this, this space, what's going to go in there? I agree with you. I just think ultimately it comes down to money for Disney. They probably have a certain amount allotted per park, or across the theme park division. And, Walt Disney World got the Fantasyland expansion, and until that's done, we're not going to see anything else at any of the parks, which is a darn shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I heard? I heard that Wally, didn't they have like a Wally character in the park? But there were some issues with like safety. So don't expect Wally to come back unless they can redesign it so that it doesn't fall over on people or something, whatever the problem was.
Now, they do have a Toy Story Playland over at Euro Disney that's relatively new. So maybe that's something they'll look at taking over here stateside if it's popular over there. And that's got kind of like a parachute drop for the kids based on the Green Army Men, that pulls you up in the parachutes and then slowly drops you down like 3 or 4 times. And then it's got the Slinky Dog, which is kind of it's kind of like a tame Himalaya ride at one of the old fairs where it kind of goes around and up and down in a circle. And then it has an RC Racer ride where the remote control car kind of goes back and forth in a half loop up and down.
But are these just like for little kids?
Yeah, they're more, it's kind of a little kid area.
Yeah. See, I hate that they keep putting in, play areas or, meet and greets. They're really big on the meet and greets. Let's throw in a little stage and we can have another meet and greet.
Yeah. This is like more than a playground, but, it's more like standard carnival rides that have been rethemed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just, I think if they're going to put something in, they should make it either
Doors ride.
Yeah, the roller coaster ride. Or if you don't want to do Pixar, Phineas and Ferb are really popular right now. I think that, a ride based on Doofenshmirtz or something could be well done throughout the parks. I mean, that might be popular.
And I think at Disney Hollywood Studios, they have a problem with that area right now where they have Toy Story Mania because it's so congested and so small, and that's where they used to have the studios, the actual working studios. So they just don't have enough room. So they got to figure out how they're going to expand on that if they make that a Pixar area.
I had always heard that, you know, calling it Pixar Place was, you know, the idea was to make it larger, but I guess it is going to take some work, and I just don't see them throwing money at it until Fantasyland is open.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I think it's got to be at least a couple of years because they've got all this money in Fantasyland, cruise ships and everything else that everybody was talking about. So you're probably looking at least a couple of years.
Okay. Well, let's do this next question. This is coming from our Fangelo, Eric. Poor guy. Need to have his head checked. I really enjoyed the Getting to Know Your Podcasters episode. You really provided us with quite an insight into your psyche, but I was wondering if you would all share a bit further. What, for you, is the best part about being a Disney travel agent, and what inspired you to participate in a podcast? I can't wait to see what's in Bob's bag of useless crap. Eric, Fangelo Prime.
Cool.
Go ahead, Bob.
Enjoy the bag of crap that is on its way.
Yes.
So hopefully you should have that in a day or two. I don't know if I should apologize in advance or, but it's all wonderful, I'm sure. Okay, personally, what inspired me to become a Disney travel agent? One, I hate being a lawyer, so I would love to do something else with my life. It's too bad I didn't discover that until after law school. But more importantly, was that I, you know, really love Disney, and I love talking about Disney, and you know, going to Disney, and you know, the history of Disney, and I just think it's an amazing, you know, imaginative and creative place, and really unlike anything else. And you know, people were always coming to me for advice anyway. You know, as far as, you know, trip planning and where to stay and what to do or tickets and things. So, well, shoot, if I'm going to, you know, give people advice all the time, I might as well get paid for it. So that's what kind of led me to this. And then as far as the podcast, you know, we tend to record a couple, you know, early in the week so that Steve has time to edit out all the nonsense as best he can. And, you know, there's just nothing good on TV early in the week. So
that's why you're doing this.
So
what an inspiration. Wow.
Well, that and I thought I was being paid for this. So
oh, Bob, you didn't get your check?
I still have yet to get a paycheck. So
it's in the mail, Bob.
It's in the mail.
Yeah, it must be in the mail. So the aliens took it.
Wait, did you give her the wrong address?
I do hope you realize I'm being facetious. I'm a Disney nerd. I mean, I'm proud of it. And I'm also the realist in the bunch. You know, I'll tell it straight. I'll say the things that other people are afraid to say. Or
what are you saying? We're not afraid to say anything, Mister.
That's true. Wait, but they have a sunnier disposition than you do, I think.
We're not realists.
No, you are totally not realist. You're full of, you know,
pixie dust.
Pixie
really?
Dust. Yes, you're totally full
even
of pixie dust.
Even me?
Yes, especially you.
Okay, that's true.
Yes, especially you. So I mean, I'm the guy here to tell it like it is. I mean,
he's
I'll
dark
be the
horse.
I'll praise when I think it's merited, and I'll call them out when I think it's merited as well.
Which is why there's a file.
Which is why Disney is keeping tabs on me. You know, they may have implanted a chip in me the last time I was there. I don't know. I'm working on another theory.
It wasn't Disney that planted that chip in you.
It was the aliens.
Well, maybe the alien was Stitch. That's me. So,
all right, Lauren, why do you do the podcast, and why are you a travel agent?
The travel agent part, I grew up around it. My mother did it my whole life. She owned her own agency. So I grew up around it. I was always around it. I grew up going to Disney all the time. Some of my earlier memories are from Disney. People used to come to me all the time for advice on Disney. Where do I stay? What do I do? Where do I eat? And everybody used to say, you should do this for a living. You're really wasting your time, blah, blah, blah. So it made me start to think about it. And I was like, why am I not doing that? So then I started researching it and I found Pixie and I love what I do. I love my job. It's the best job in the world.
Awesome. Podcast.
The podcast. You know, I love talking about Disney. So what better way to do that than to talk to other people that love it? And, you know, we enjoy each other. We have a good time doing it. I think when it becomes work, then it's not really going to be fun anymore.
Yeah, that's when we'll be signing off.
Yeah. I think we'll be replaced when that happens. I think, you know, right now I think it's just we have a good time. We talk about things and I enjoy it.
Okay, good. Steve?
Well, Lisa and I were cast members, so we both worked at Disney and that was fun. And then we moved to Atlanta. And then we didn't go to Disney for, I don't even know, 5-8 years? Longer?
Seriously?
Well,
how long have you been married to me?
Gasp.
Oh, boy. 2000, about 10, 11 years.
Okay. Going on 11 years.
Oh, and Amber's 6. Oh, so what was it, 4 years, 5 years that we skipped?
Probably 4 years.
Yeah. So we skipped 4 years. And then Amber came along, and it just kind of reignited the Disney bug, I guess. Because then I was thinking about Disney Vacation Club and how can we go and how can we share Disney with the kids, and it kind of just grew from there again. And then the podcast, we, you know, just kind of grew out of Pixie Vacations and just wanting to talk about Disney and meeting different people in the community and talking to different special guests and learning about Disney kind of every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lisa?
Me? Okay. Yeah, I guess I should probably follow up after you. As far as becoming a Disney travel agent, it's very similar to everyone else. It's where you are asked all the time about what to do, where to go, how to do it in relation to Disney and Disney World in particular. And I get so excited when I talk about it. You just want to, you actually live vicariously through your client's planning. And, you know, you customize it to the client, but you get excited because you're like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. You are going to love this. And you talk about the different aspects. It's exciting. And maybe that is it. Maybe I'm enjoying my memories when I talk about the memories they'll be making. But Disney, it's in my blood. It just seems to be. I've always loved Disney and talking about it. You know, the whole thing about selling it, so to speak, that was something that we just figured out. You know, it's easy to sell something you're passionate about. It's not selling, it's sharing at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to have this and get your Disney fix. So
it is a good way to get your Disney fix all the time, though, because you're always talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get clients to take me with them.
that hasn't worked yet, has it?
It hasn't worked out for me.
Not yet.
I'm like, don't you need a private tour guide?
But when it comes to the podcast, that's all Steve's baby. He said we're doing a podcast, and then he ultimately said you're running it. So here we are. I enjoy it. I mean, you guys are great. We have developed such a wonderful rapport. We've got a groove. We've got far too many inside jokes that we still find funny.
We find funny. Our listeners might be totally lost.
Yes.
And that we're still building on.
Yes. Just like the layers of a cupcake. So I think you guys are fabulous, and I miss Natalie. She added a little spunk to us. Go to the earlier shows if you're a new listener. Natalie had her little, charm about her. So, but I think we're a great little niche here. We say what's on our mind. We're not always pro Disney. I think that's good. But it's in a lot of cases hard to not be pro Disney because it is such a wonderful place. But we'll call Disney out on a couple things. So, as you may have noticed, but it's not about the bashing at all. It's all about the love.
Absolutely. It really isn't. I mean, I don't do it to be mean-spirited or
it's to be informative and to give you guys an honest view of what we think.
I think, too, we wouldn't be doing this week after week after week if we didn't have a love for Disney.
Right. All right, Chris.
Okay, and this is the honest to God's truth, and you can deny it if you want, Steve, but the only reason I am doing this podcast is because Steve begged me. And that's the truth. Because I had a blog, and I was just blogging in my own little old blog, and I get this email one day, and it's from Steve, and he's like,
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Unlike the rest of us, Chris was podcaster then agent. The rest of us were agent then podcaster. So
I was just like a lone blogger in my own little corner of the universe, and I was constantly getting weird emails from people, and you can imagine what those emails were like. And so when I got Steve's email, I'm like, another freak. And so I ignored it. And then a while later, I get another email. And at this point, I say to Chip, who is a mutual acquaintance of ours, I said, who is this guy? And he's like, oh, he owns Pixie Vacations, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whatever. And he, I don't even know why, but y'all asked me to do the podcast with you. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I started doing the podcast, and it was really fun. And we all hit it off. And then about a month later, it was a month, maybe 2 months later, you guys mentioned being a travel agent. And I was like, yes, because I would have never thought to ask. I don't know why, but I was thrilled when you asked. And it took me a couple of months to actually get it together enough to fill out the application. I know I took a while, and then to start doing quotes. And when I did it, I totally got addicted to it. And it really is, honest to God, the best job I could personally ever ask for. And particularly, and I've said this before, going down to the AEP and meeting other agents, I totally appreciate the people I work with and the support that we get. But it all started because Steve begged me to advertise on his site. So there, Steve.
Was that what it was?
It was.
Oh, so Steve, you're the reason we're stuck with Chris now.
It is true, and I'm sure I have the email somewhere.
And you know what? Thank you, Steve.
I remember talking to you on the phone, and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
She clearly thought you were a freak.
I really, honest to God, because when your email came, for some reason, I had just gotten into this groove where I was getting a lot of weird emails from Disney fans, and they were strange. And I was like, is this another one of these weirdos? Because I don't really, you know.
It was.
Yeah, it was. But only he was a nice weirdo. So what
made you accept?
You know, I think it was because I found out that y'all were okay, and you weren't like the guy who sent me the shirtless picture. And, because Chip told me that you guys were okay and everything. So, and the podcast idea was kind of interesting, you know, but that was after many, many emails, I think, that I knew who you guys were, and I could trust you, and you weren't weirdos and freaks necessarily.
Little did you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Eric, there you go. That's how we all got into this. And I think it's been a great ride.
Could we do a blooper show someday?
The whole show is that.
That would be fun. Okay. We're done with this week's show. Thank you to our sponsors, pixievacations.com, for helping out with this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can get us from MouseTunes as well. See, that's why we're scripted.
Yeah.
You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can get us at iTunes as well. Please send us your comments and or your questions to comments@mousechat.net. We hope to see you again here next week on Mouse Chat. And that's figuratively speaking. You here again next week.
Because we're not going to be here next week. We're taking next week off.
Well, I was saying the fact that they can't see us.